Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And this is Ashland Dave, and this is Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 244. I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thank you for downloading the show. If you're a new listener, thanks for checking out the podcast. If you're a returning listener, I'm very grateful that you came back, download the show, and just thankful that you came back to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. It is the episode 244. It's the week of June 25th, 2017. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording this podcast from my podcast studio, which is my kitchen counter in Ashland, Virginia, Center of the Universe, Central Virginia. And we are in the middle of some pretty hot temperatures, really high humidity, which is typical of Central Virginia this time of year. It's gone on for several days. And so my concern is a little bit of how hot it's going to be with my upcoming Night Train 50K, which is scheduled for July 1st. So this will be the last episode before that ultra, and then the episode after that, I'll have a recap, do a race report on that. I'm going to start this episode with going back to a race report that my good friend Ryan up in Canada sent me. Ryan is a virtual member of our former running group Team Incognito that originated as a grassroots marathon training group back in 2006. And over the years, different members of Team Incognito have kind of gone some separate ways, not away from each other, just gone in different separate ways with exploring different running experiences. And Ryan has was married to a Canadian, and they ended up moving from the Richmond area to Canada. So now he's a proud Canadian, and I have a nice surprise for you at the end of the show, Ryan, as requested, so everybody else can sit on pins and needles to see what the special surprise is. This is Canada's 150th anniversary. And so as a result, the Calgary Marathon, which was held in late May, had a special addition to the race, and they had a 150K relay. I'm guessing there's maybe some solo people in there. 150K is a 93.2 miles. Ryan put together a training team for that. I had mentioned that, or training group, a relay group, and I'd mentioned this in the last show. His race report was lengthy, but as I went through it, I realized that there was some really good information in there. So I wanted to start off the podcast with going through his race report, and then I'll comment on some of that, and then we'll talk about some other things. I have a major problem with shoe odor that I'm trying to address. So I'm going to mention some stuff about that. I know, you know, running does incorporate some of the gross stuff. I'm going to comment a little bit about the effort by Nike to clear 2 hours in the marathon. And, of course, I've got still got the stickers that Alex has offered up. So just send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And then also there's going to be – you have to go to ashlanddave.podbean.com to see about the special Spartan offer. If you do Spartan events and you have an interest in getting a free entry or a reduced entry, I have some information on that, and that'll be at ashlanddave.podbean.com. In fact, I'm making sure and put a note in there to make sure to get that set. So let's get to Ryan's race report because it's pretty cool. So I'm just going to kind of read from it here, and I think you'll find it pretty interesting. He writes, "Dave, we had our relay over the weekend." This has been late May. Report below. He says he asked for his special request, which I have it at the end of the show, so you'll see that. It'll be a very special exception for this show only, unless I have additional Canadians that send into the email bag, which is ashlanddave@gmail.com. And if you're a new listener to the show and you do like it, please send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave. And just let me know, you know, where you hail from, what kind of running you do, and just give me some feedback on the show. I only request good feedback. I'm not really interested in improving the show at this point. I kind of do the same thing each week, each show. I do about two a month, and I've been doing it since 2008. So I'm not really looking for feedback to improve the show. But if you do like the show, I do like to hear from people. So I like to keep everything really positive. I'm not sure if that really came out right. All right, but let's get back to the race report. And so this is Ryan writing. He says, "All right, from my perspective, we can call this report a wondrous blur. Despite the event lasting close to 17 hours, it went by really quickly and was a uniquely great experience. Without sleep at any point, though, it all felt like a blur. As mentioned, the Calgary Marathon was a special edition to celebrate Canada's 150th anniversary this year. As part of the weekend's events, Ryan captained a relay team for the Confederation 100K, which is 93.2 miles. They also had a solo option, which 75 runners started, but only 17 finished. Wow. And the winner in just over 12 hours. The race director told us it was the first running event of this distance contained within an urban center. The first 100K was basically 10 loops of a 10K paved course starting in the evening. Waves between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. depending on projected pace. So we were all able to set up under a tent near the transition area. There was a hard cutoff of 7 a.m. for this first 100K. Oddly, though, if you finished before 7 a.m., you had to wait before proceeding. This is because the final 50K coincided with the mass start of the 50K marathon / half, about 4,000 runners all combined. And due to traffic control, they couldn't open the course before the mass start. Wow, that's confusing. All right, Ryan writes, rather than go through every detail chronologically, I'll do my top five memories of the experience counting down. Number five, the race organization. For a one-time event, they were comprehensive and responsive regarding rules and logistics between their website, their emails, and the participant briefing the night before at the expo. Some, like my mother-in-law, who ran leg number two, couldn't quite get the details straight, even though I emailed the key points, but I thought they did everything they could and should do. Number four, the weather. It wasn't perfect, but it was damn close. Last Wednesday, we had sheets of wet snow and high winds. He says that's not atypical for May in Calgary. Even as late as an hour before the race, there was lightning and brief showers, but the rain and clouds quickly passed, and it was pretty much warm and sunny throughout the race. It was close to 75 at our 7 p.m. start, fell to a low of 48 overnight, and then 50s for most of the final 50K. Number three, the post-leg celebrations. It was awesome to see my team members come in, most super pleased with the experience. My soon-to-be brother-in-law ran leg number four, finished at about 11 p.m. Then he and I enjoyed a nice brew together. I had run just before him. Our next runner, a buddy I used to work with, ran two consecutive legs, finishing just after 1 a.m. So, of course, he and I caught up over another beverage. I tried to fully embrace the ultra relay camaraderie culture, which as I've learned from you, was quite different from your standard intense weekend 10K. And I'll get back to that in my commentary. Number two, the Northern Lights. Living here for over 6 years, I had never seen the Aurora Borealis. I'm embarrassed to say it. I don't even know how to pronounce that. But at 1:30 a.m., the announcer, MC at the transition, told everyone to look up. Words don't do it justice, so check this out. And he gave me a link to amazing photos of the Northern Lights, so I'll check that out. Number one, my team coming together as one. We were an interesting mix of family, friends, and strangers, some of whom I had only met via email prior to the night of the event. So while not physically prepared to run extra legs, I thought there was a chance we could have no shows, and so I was mentally prepared to step in. Whether because I committed everyone financially by collecting their portion of the team fee beforehand, or because they are just a great group of reliable folks, I like to think it's the latter, everyone was present at least 30 minutes ahead of their leg, did their part, and allowed us to complete the challenge as a team. I didn't make people stay for the duration of the event due to the odd hours, parental duties, or other commitments, but almost everyone met someone new, had a great time, and made it a very rewarding experience for me as the team captain. I'm not sure the results are fully finalized, but I believe we finished in 14 hours, 25 minutes, which was good for 10th out of 37 teams. And that averages about a 9:17 minute per mile pace. And I totally ignored your advice about hanging near the Port-a-Johns. We set up our tent the farthest away from the Port-a-Johns. Theoretically, I would have been able to get some recovery shut-eye, but the event was too exciting. As team captain, I just toughed it out overnight, not sleeping until a 3 p.m. nap. He said there's some videos, he gave me a link to that. And I think what I might do is, I'll put these links in the podcast, Ryan, or in the, at the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. That way other people who, if anybody has an interest in that, they can go check it out. He says he's going to send my team a separate recap, but writing up the report was a good way to collect the thoughts. And, excellent race report, Ryan. as I was going through it, I was reading the details, and I thought, you know, really, I'll just share this with everybody if there's anyone, you know, people that were interested in it, because they've heard me talk about you for years. But let me talk about your number three point, the post-leg celebrations. And when you said you tried to fully embrace the relay camaraderie culture, which I've learned from you was quite different from your standard intense weekend 10K. The reason I want to comment on that is because I've done two relays with my Team Incognito group. And I'm embarrassed to say that I can't remember if Ryan was in one or both of those or none of them. Ryan, I'm sorry, I just don't remember, you know. The first one was a 24-hour race. Our team did 135 miles. And then the second one was the Colonial 200, which was a 200-mile relay from Charlottesville, Virginia to Jamestown, Virginia, through some country roads. I actually came through Hanover where I live, which was pretty cool. And you do, if you've listened to the show, you've heard me say this, that I really think the relays are the most fun that adults can have together with their clothes on. I mean, it's just a really cool event. You do get to know some people differently than if you didn't know them that well before, or if you just were kind of surface friends. You're either going to like them a lot more, or you're not going to like people, or you can just tolerate others. But everybody does have that love of running. And grown people somehow coordinating to all get together and stay up all night, to me, is just always going to be an interesting experience. It's not like you're hanging out at, you know, during the day all together. You're pulling an all-nighter. And pulling an all-nighter with a group of adults is really, in my opinion, requires a very special group of people to do that. And it looks like Ryan's team came in 10th out of 37, which is just outstanding. And a lot of that, I'm sure, is attributed to Ryan's coordination and getting everybody there and selection of people. And it sounds like he's stayed up all night and then finally took a nap around 3 p.m. So my hat's off to you, Ryan. I really do appreciate the race report. I hope everybody else out there enjoyed it. I certainly did. And I went through it really carefully. And that's when I realized, you know what, it really makes more sense just to include the whole race report. So I really do appreciate that a whole lot. Special surprise at the end for Ryan, which is a special exception. And maybe, like I said, if I hear from any other Canadians from time to time at ashlanddave@gmail.com, maybe I will do the same tribute. Okay, let's talk a little bit about shoe odor. And in this podcast, I'd like to talk about all things running. And sometimes all things running deal with the side of the sport that is kind of nasty and gross. I've talked about the nipple bleeding, which I had a little bit of an issue last weekend. And, you know, another rookie mistake when I went out. I got my 20-miler in, then did another 8-miler on the 20-miler on Saturday, 8-miler on Sunday. And I use these, I don't use nip guards anymore. I use a smaller material. Nippies, I think is what they're called. And turns out that the friction was actually not on the nipple. It was on the thing around the nipple. And that started bleeding, which was really strange because a nip guard wouldn't have covered that either. It was just really bizarre where the friction was happening. But, you know, when you get out there in the humidity and you're sweating your ass off all day or all morning, you get some really strange friction areas and hot spots. And I'm just a huge, I perspire huge amounts all day. There are multiple times in the summer I have to take two showers a day because I do my run on the weekend. I do my run in the morning, and then I do work out in the afternoon outside or whatever, and I just sweat right again, especially when it's 95 degrees outside. So I'll have to take another shower. But this, what that is leading me to is the grossness of how stinky shoes can get from runners. Now, several years ago, I switched from a single running shoe to double running shoes. And what I mean by that is I used to buy one pair at a time and would just, wear those until the mileage got up to 400 or whatever. And whatever the mileage is that you start feeling your knees going on you. And that's, what it was shoes were actually, I would have to retire shoes before they wore out because they just stunk so freaking bad. I mean, let's just put it this way. I've gotten to a point where my shoes are not even in the house anymore. That's just, and I clean them. I do different things, but it's just they get so wet. So now I buy two pairs of shoes at a time. And what I do is I switch them out each day. And each time I run, I wear the next pair, and I have a little app on my phone, which I keep up with the mileage. It was a free app. I'm gonna see if it has a name to it. It's called the Shoe Cycle, all one word, Shoe Cycle app. I got it from the App Store, and I like it because you can put a picture of your shoes. It keeps up the history, or the mileage. You can look back on the history, and I've actually keep track of how much mileage my dog has run, and it's because I got a little picture of him. And so far this year, he has run 136.6 miles. So Blue, whenever he runs, now these days, he only does 2 to 3 miles at a time because it's so hot, and then I got to bring him back home, and then I go back out for the rest of my run. But anyway, I keep track of the mileage. But what was happening was the shoes were being retired before the mileage expired because they stunk so bad. And I would pull the insole thing out, try to let them air out. It was just getting, it's still bad. I mean, it's got to the point where it's consistently bad, but it was just, we were trying to figure out what the source of the stink was in our house. And it turns out it was my funky feet. So we had to get the shoes outside. So now they're kept in the garage. But I did some research on trying to figure out how to get rid of this odor, and maybe it's something I should have been doing from the beginning, but there was one thing I read online, you know, of course, if it's on the internet, it must work, right? Was to freeze your shoes. And apparently the idea is that it kills the bacteria, which is the cause of the odor. So I took one of my pairs of shoes and put them in the freezer for 2 days. Figured that would freeze whatever was in there, because water will freeze in a day, pretty much. I don't know how long it takes water to freeze in a freezer, but it's about a day, I guess. And took the shoes out, and it still has the same odor. So that doesn't work. So I went with the baking soda idea. And that didn't work either. And so I think what I'm going to have to do is go ahead and purchase this product. Or maybe I'll make it myself from cedar chips. I'll go buy some of those. And it's called Stuff It's. And I mean, we're going back several years now. If you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard this. Let me talk about this. I called one of my episodes like Stinky Shoes or something like that. And this lady who works for Stuff It's, apparently scrapes the internet, has programs that scrape the internet for certain terminology. And then she contacted me and offered to send me this product to try out. And they're called Stuff It's, Stuffits. So I tried that. They're these little things. They're just full of cedar chips, but they're in the shape of feet. And they go in your shoes, and they're connected by a piece of ribbon or canvas. And it's a... it worked. It was really good, but you got to buy that. And I'm trying to find a free solution. I've also read that you stuff newspaper in your shoe to soak up the moisture. I said it's the moisture problem. It's not the moisture problem because the shoes dry out in the sun. It's the actual odor of the shoe itself that it can't be good for the material of the shoe. This just outrageous stink. It's just it's almost embarrassing. I'm just glad that when I put my feet in the shoes, the odor stops. And it's just my running shoes. I don't have this problem with leather shoes or street shoes that I wear to work, or boots that I have that I wear through the winter. It's really just the running shoes because of the amount of perspiration I have. So I'd be interested in any tips or any ideas that listeners have. You can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'd be interested to hear from you. All right, let's talk a little bit about the June issue of Runner's World, which is on the cover, says 159.59. I read the whole article, and I was really interested in this program that Nike's doing to try to break the two-hour marathon threshold. And I think the world record, I think is 202 something. I'm not exactly sure. I know it's really close. And I don't subscribe to Runner's World. I get it as a hand-me-down from my dad. Sometimes I get it from Ashland Tom, and then we'll do like a magazine swap because I get Ultra Running Magazine, which is a bi-monthly, and we'll do a magazine swap. But this, usually get them a month or so after they come out. But, you know, the June issue probably came out in April because they like to be ahead, right? But it was a very interesting article about these guys, about the people that are trying to break the two-hour barrier. And I found it very interesting, especially because they're having these guys run in like a wedge to break, to reduce wind resistance, kind of like cyclists do and whatnot. And I never really realized how much, you know, the wind could have an effect on a runner. But I guess when you're looking at seconds, you know, minutes and seconds and trying to reduce just by a few percentage points the amount of time it takes to cover the distance, I guess you're going to look at everything. And they're not looking at it to make a world record. They're looking at it to see if it can be done. Now, my solution for them is just to let these guys use drugs, because I think that if you get runners on some kind of performance enhancing drugs, you're going to definitely break 2 hours. You're probably going to break 155. And this is going to be my sarcastic commentary in case you haven't picked up on that yet. Several episodes ago, I had said, let's just have a drug Olympics. Let's let all the athletes use as many drugs as they feel necessary to be as strong as they want, to be as fast as they want, or as efficient as they want. You know, if it's a chemical that's found on Earth and it can be made, why can't athletes take it to improve their performance? I guess I don't really understand. If we're looking for the best and the fastest, then you're going to look for the athlete who has access to the most money, to the most research, to the best people. They're going to be the fastest. And I'm not really – I think you should have two Olympics. You have the natural Olympics that nobody's going to watch, and then you're going to have the drug Olympics where everybody's going to want to watch to see – and I've also said you ought to just let them use drugs in the football league, in the National Football League, just to see if – can you really knock somebody's head off their body? I mean, you probably could if you hit them hard enough. And, you know, that's a game about – it's controlled violence is what that game is. I love the game of football. Soccer is my favorite sport, but I also played football in high school as well as soccer, and I just love it. But I don't like the fact that they're reducing a lot of this injury. I say, you know, let the most fit – it's the survival of the fittest in those sports. And I say, you know, hit people as hard as possible, because if somebody gets hurt and goes out, guess what? There is always somebody there willing to take a paycheck to get in that game. That's just the way that is. So I think that what the Nike people ought to do is, and I know I'm going around and around a whole bunch here, but I really think that they should let the runners use drugs if they want, and that way they'll be sure to break that 2 hour barrier, and then they can sell lots of shoes that the guys wore, because apparently they got this shoe that is a special shoe that I guess is, you know, making them a couple percentage points more efficient. But I think the drugs will definitely, I don't know what drugs, PED, I don't even know. I wouldn't even know where to go get performance enhancing drugs, because that's just not, I don't have money for that, and I'm not even interested because I'm not a competitor. I'm a participant, and I like to just finish events. I guess I'm competing against myself, you know. I guess if you compete against yourself, do you always win or do you always lose? I'm not sure. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But it's a very, all kidding aside, it's actually a very interesting article about how Nike is trying to break this barrier. And I think it's cool that they're really serious about it. And so I can't remember what the article said when they're going to be doing this. The article covered their half marathon effort. And then I think the full marathon effort is either going to be later this year or early next year. I can't remember when it's going to be. Let's talk a little bit about Alex's stickers. I've offered these before. These are the West End. Let me look here. They're the West Side Ultra Runner Guild stickers. I've got about 12 of them. They're free. It's a really cool logo. Matter of fact, if I can figure out how to post a picture of these to, what I might do is go steal their logo off their Facebook page and then right click it and put that on the podcast website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. That way you can take a look at the sticker and see if you want one. They're really cool. The coolest thing is if you ever wanted a sticker on the car that just says Ultra Runner without having to make one yourself, this is really the way to go, because they've already done it and they've got a really cool logo with like mountains and then like a little trail going through the mountains, and it's We Surge is the name of their group, and he's out of Arizona, and he will probably be the next person I go to visit out there when I do a race in Arizona, because I've never been to Arizona and I definitely want to go there. So if you're interested in a sticker, they're free, and I mail it to you on with Alex's postage that he's already sent me. So all you got to do is send me your address at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I don't collect your address for any kind of marketing. I don't put it into a database. This is just a grassroots podcast that's amateur, and frankly, I don't have time to collect all people's addresses. Let's talk a little bit about the 50K prep. Okay, July 1st is the Night Train 50K. I talked a lot about this, I think, last episode, which was called Can't Get Enough. Why am I doing another 50K? Well, just to reiterate, I had an outstanding spring race up in Michigan. My time wasn't really the outstanding thing. My finishing time, 6:53, was not really the outstanding part of it. It was just the overall experience of traveling up there, meeting new people, renewing some old friendships, and seeing a different part of the country I'd never been to before, and then just experiencing the overwhelming quality of hospitality from my hosts was just very moving. And I think it changed me. Like I've said before, I was changed when I came back, as I just realized I could be nicer to other people down here, you know, and I wanted to do that. And I've been working towards just being a nicer person, because I was overwhelmed by how nice people were to me. So with that in mind, I just couldn't get enough of the distance. And there was an inaugural race called the Night Train 50K, which is going to be July 1st. I've already talked about it, but it's a 5 p.m. start. I'm hoping to be finished by midnight. That's 7 hours. What I think is, because it's a completely flat course. However, sometimes those things can get really mundane. I think the heat is going to be probably the biggest obstacle. So I'm estimating between 6.5 hours and 7, because of the heat. And temperature is going to be in the 90s. And even when the sun goes down around here, it might get down to 80, but it's still hot and humid. So I'll be doing that next week, and I'll have a full race report from that. I think after that's going to be it for the marathons for this summer. I can't train through the summer, double digits on the weekends, with the exception of the Patrick Henry half, which is usually the week before Labor Day, the Saturday before Labor Day. And, of course, I'll be doing that. We, have a new group that we have formed called Team Beatbox. And, I may have already talked about this. I can't remember. I hope I have not. But if I have, then just forgive me for a minute or so. So we have Ashlyn Bob, Ashlyn Brian, Ashlyn Tom, and me, Ashlyn Dave. And that's our group. And we meet on Saturday mornings and run. And so I use an acronym, an acronym creator, and put all our names in there. And the name Beatbox was one. So Bathtub was another one, but Beatbox was one of them. And I thought Team Beatbox would be better than Team Bathtub, although Team Bathtub was pretty funny. So our Team Beatbox is, technically, we've started the training program for the Patrick Henry half. It's just that my mileage has been a lot more than what the team was doing. So I got up early, and then I would meet up with them. And next weekend, I'll miss that team run, because there's no point in me running in the morning if I'm going to be going and doing 50K that night. However, I'll probably still meet them out for coffee. And then after, I guess, July 8th, we'll start with our schedule, which I think we're up to 6 or 7 miles. So that'll be pretty easy. That's the Patrick Henry half coming up later this summer. I believe that'll be the 10th year. I've participated in the race every year. I've run it every year, with the exception of one was when I was on call. However, I did operate a water stop that year. So I've been involved with the race ever since its inception. And if you don't know who Patrick Henry is, and you're an American, shame on you. So, all right, we do have, or look him up, you'll figure it out. Patrick Henry was born right here in Hanover County, where I live. And he argued his first court case in the same courthouse, in the same, right where I work, at Hanover Courthouse, which is a historic area. And I could go on and on about that, but the podcast is not about him. It's about running. So I do have the Spartan offer. So if you're interested in the Spartan events, go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, and you can look for the special offer there. There'll be instructions on how to get that. That's pretty much first come, first serve. If you've already taken advantage of that, I think I've only got two people, Alex being one of them. I would ask that we just wait for somebody else. And if nobody else steps forward, then I'll offer that up to y'all. All right, we do have a couple of emails from the email bag section of the show. Let's see who checked in this week. I think one of them was kind of solicited. Okay, I did get an interesting email back from Midlow Pete. And he says he is going to be running the Night Train 50K. He's always wanted to run across the High Bridge, so he signed up. He's going to give it a go. However, he's not in any shape to do it, and we're going to try to meet up in person, so definitely. And he did say that, and he was joking around. He says, He did do the Piedmont 8-hour. I think he did the one the year before I did. I'm pretty sure I would have met him there, or we would have known we were doing it. Anyway, he got a magnet, and in the last show or the show before, I had called the magnets pathetic, but he actually loves it. Well, what I forgot to really mention is that those are actually some of the coolest race swag that I have, are these small things. For example, you did 50K at the night at the Piedmont 8-hour race. If you were able to get 50 kilometers in there, you got a magnet that says Piedmont 8-hour on it. Okay, well, that's definitely on my fridge in the house, not on the fridge in the garage, which I got other running stuff on that fridge. This is prominently on the fridge in the house. And then I love wearing my black Piedmont 8-hour t-shirt with about as basic logo as you can get. That came along with complimentary duffel bag, like grocery duffel bag type of thing. You know, those little cloth bags you take to the grocery store if you don't get paper bags. Again, I carry stuff in that because I want people to see Piedmont 8-hour. But again, it's some of the most basic stuff, and that's what you get at these ultras. Now, looks like Pete says he also got a magnet from the Dogwood 12-hour, and he says he probably displays them on the refrigerator. Oh, he's got them in his garage. And he actually sees them far more often than any medals he's received. I've gotten some glasses over the years from the Dogwood Heritage Trail. One year they had a hat, one year they had a pint glass, and then one year you got a medal. Each year, whenever you do it, you pick what you want of those three. I've gotten glasses from the IC8. These are all things. I got the glasses in my garage. Matter of fact, one of them is filled with foosballs for my foosball table. I just keep the foosballs in that pint glass up on a shelf over top of my workbench. So I'm really curious to know what he's going to have for the night train, Pete, if we finish. So hope to see you there. Let me know if you want a sticker. I saw that you checked out the WeSurge site. If you like the sticker, let me know. I'll bring one for you next week and give that to you if I remember. I hope to meet you there. Let's maybe what I'll do is I don't know, before it gets closer to the race, I'll email you, and that way I can figure out who you are, okay? It'd be cool to meet you in person, because I think we've exchanged some emails over the years. I also heard from Dr. Smitty, of course. It's always good to hear from Dr. Smitty. Dr. Smitty will be here in for the Patrick Henry Half. He comes for that. And I got an email from him saying it looks like he might be at the Night Train 50K on July 1st. He has a few friends doing it. He says he maybe has some time to kill. He might just come and hang out. And but no final plans for that. So hopefully you will come, Greg. It'd be good to see you. And Greg took in, I think, first masters for the annual nude 50K that he does every year at Whitetail Resort, which is in, I think, Isle of Wight County. And I saw something he had posted. It wasn't really in his email, and I'm guessing because he posted on his Facebook page, he doesn't mind me mentioning this. But he said there were three people. This is a nude race, a naked race. And all you wear is, socks and shoes. And I remember he told me one time the hardest thing he ever did was actually taking his pants off at the car and actually leaving them there and walking away from the car with no pants on and meeting up with other people. But he said there were three people there that did have clothes on that ran. And he said they stuck out like three nude people would stick out at a regular 5K. And I thought that was pretty funny. He says that some women do wear sports bras while they're running. I guess they take them off after that and when everybody's socializing and carrying on. And I think that would be interesting to do. I just don't think I have the, quote, balls to do it. Maybe, I don't know. But my hat's off to you, Greg, for doing that. And well done for taking in the Masters Award. Dr. Smitty also says he's doing a Ragnar trail race in West Virginia August 12th weekend. Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. That's 2 weeks before the Patrick Henry Half, so he'll be in good shape. And if you recall, he had a sprained ankle when he was up here for the Ashland Railroad going back in April, so I guess that's cleared up. And Greg, good to hear from you, and hopefully we will cross paths next weekend. That would really be cool if we're able to do that. And I want to mention a podcast that I started listening to, and I'm sure some people out there already know about it, but I'll mention it anyway because I didn't know about it before a friend mentioned it to me. And the reason I'm going to mention this is because I've completely gotten away from the opinion podcasts, new, like political opinion podcasts. I used to consume those religiously, every day, just about anytime I was running, I had the podcast full of that stuff. And I just got real tired of it, frankly. And I was angry all the time, not on the podcast, but just about the way things were in the country and this and that. And I realized that I wasn't doing anything to change it, and I didn't have any plans to, other than just, you know, be a regular voter and a regular citizen. I just don't have the time to be any kind of activist. And so I felt like I was kind of being poisoned a whole lot by listening to the political opinion shows. And I just wasn't feel, I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere in my life with emotionally. So I've decided, I've kind of done a self-imposed news blackout. And as a result of that, that was probably too much information for you. And probably some of y'all probably didn't know that about me. Because I do a lot of running, so I need to listen to a lot of stuff, and I can't listen to music all the time. So I found a new one. It was mentioned to me by a friend, and it's called Shit Town, or S-Town. It's on, you can search for it on the iTunes store, or just Google it. It's about some people in Woodstock, Alabama, and I like the way they talk, and I like the story, and it's a very interesting story. I think it's got 8 parts to it. I'm on like part 3 or 4. And it's just really interesting, and I really like it. And I ran earlier this week listening to it, and I don't even remember the mileage. I just got engrossed in the story, and it's a true story. It's not, because there's interviews being done, it's not a false story. And anyway, if you're looking for a different type of podcast and you like the way Southerners talk, then check out Shit Town, also known as S-Town. So this episode's coming to a close. I will have a fresh episode after the Night Train 50K with the race report. Might even have some audio from that. If you've listened to the show, you know that my wife Monica is going to be my crew chief. My daughter Lucy Ellis will be a crew member, and then our Spanish exchange student, unbeknownst to her, will be the other crew. So I've got 3 people to tend to my needs over the course of 50 kilometers. Some people might say you really don't need much of a crew for 50K. But if you have spectators out there supporting you, they might as well crew for you. And I need to do sock and shoe changes to take care of my very gentle feet, which are easily broken. And, you know, that's my Achilles heel, I guess, if you will. I think I feel like I'm mentally strong and I'm physically strong, except for the bottoms of my feet. They just, when they stay wet, they just, that skin breaks. And so I got to do powder jobs and do all these little stupid routines to keep myself fresh. And hurt, you know, when your feet hurt, your brain hurts. And that's one thing I've learned back in, I'm not sure what year it was, when I was out of work for 2 weeks because I burned the bottoms of my feet off. And if you have more interest in that, you can email me at ashlanddave@podbean.com and I'll tell you the whole story. So this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe. Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And stay tuned for the special surprise for Ryan up in Calgary.